My guest today on the Pulse of New Hampshire, Jim Sonnefeld of Hootie and the Blowfish. He's got a brand new book out called Swimming with the Blowfish. And in the book, he says, we loved, we fought, we cried, we laughed a lot, and we did whatever it took to play the music that we knew was very distinctly ours. Jim Sony Sonnefeld. He has lived a life that is rife with fun and pain, light and darkness, but always with an amazing amount of love. And the way he sees the world is one of a kind, and his story is one for the ages. He joins us today on the Pulse of New Hampshire. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm having a great day. How about you?
Not too bad. Jim Sonnefeld from Hootie and the Blowfish with a brand new book out called Swimming with the Blowfish. Jim, I have to tell you, you guys in the 1990s with Hootie and the Blowfish, Darius Rucker and the rest of the gang, you guys were one of the biggest bands in the early 90s. You guys had a bunch of albums out. You sold millions of records. What happened? Why did you guys break up in the early 90s as well?
Well, we enjoyed a great run from the club days up to amphitheaters and selling out and traveling the world. And, you know, like any career, I think in entertainment, you got to ride the roller coaster. And we saw it coming down, and we ended up deciding we'd take a period of dormancy that would not really have a timeline on it, which is daring and a little bit scary. But we felt like we needed to get out of the public eye. And so we did. We continued funding our Hootie and the Blowfish charities down here in South Carolina, but we laid low. And at the same time, Darius's country career took off, and it allowed him to spend as much time as he wanted with that. And it ends up working together. We spent almost 10 years dormant before returning for a 2019 tour.
Yeah. I mean, you look back at the music of the 90s, and we'll get into your personal story as well. There was no bigger band in the world than Hootie and the Blowfish at the time. I mean, you had so many hit records, and you were selling out. You know, thousands and thousands of fans wanted to see you. But there was a price to pay with all that success, and that's part of what the book is about, Swimming with the Blowfish. Your personal journey. I mean, were you guys prepared for that success that came with it so fast?
I mean, you'd like to think you are deserving of the attention, and maybe we were after spending 5 years toiling, but there's no really preparing for the zip that happens when you go from playing in front of 1,000 people a night to 20,000, and then touring the world and getting caught up in the excitement. And that's fine. We all enjoyed it and took it pretty well. It was probably the way back down that I got tangled up and started medicinally using alcohol and substances to try and deal with my imbalance of emotions, dealing and facing the disappointment.
For people who know what an addict is, I mean, you had all this success. People say, well, why did you go down that road? You had everything you needed. I mean, you had adoration, you had success artistically, you were big in society, financially, you guys were doing okay. What happened in your life personally that made you go down that dark hole?
Well, if you accept that alcoholism or addiction is an illness of sorts, then I'm a sick person. I have an obsession to feel better through drugs and alcohol, but I've got a body that doesn't treat it like a normal person who would, after one or two, decide, oh, I've had enough. I don't feel right. I went the opposite way, and my body, that craving gets set off, and I can't turn it off. So I've got to address that at some point well along in my years of daily use. And so I did in 2004, 2005. I addressed it. I can't control it. It's got a power over me, and what am I going to do about it? So I sought help and found help, which was brilliant. That's part of the redemption story, is how I dealt with something that a lot of others also deal with.
Yeah. Did the success of the band, though, contribute to that? I mean, were you like that? Was your personality, was your body in that mold of addiction before the success of Hootie and the Blowfish? Or did the success of the group and the fame and the fortune and the parties, did that contribute to all that?
I think it certainly never left me short of a free drink. So when there's people lined up around the corner to buy anybody in the band a drink, I was certainly happy to receive that. And I'm not sure that it's a little slippery, smooth sort of downward spiral that I got caught in. I couldn't tell you that on a certain day it turned bad, but it certainly didn't help that when I realized people were worried about me, I didn't seek help. I went the other way. I decided I would hide it, and I would keep secrets so they wouldn't be worried about me. And that, unfortunately, lasted another 3 or 4 years.
Did band members notice the change in you? Did they notice you were falling to prey of addiction there? Did they notice they tried to help you, intervene at all?
Sure. They they did lovingly in their own way. Each band member, and I talk about it in the book, came to me and approached me the only way we knew how to, as buddies who had spent years together writing songs and having a good time. We all partied together. We loved it. But yeah, they all sort of said that they were worried about me. They loved me, but I wasn't gonna hear from anybody until I was ready, and that didn't come until the end of 2004.
Yeah, such an emotional story. Jim Sonnefeld, the drummer of Hootie and the Blowfish, his new book is called Swimming with the Blowfish. What was it like when you got back with the band? Were you still in addiction at the time? Were you in treatment at the time when the band got back together?
No, luckily I had umpteen years of sobriety, and I had a real good foundation. So getting back on the road, getting in tour buses, playing in front of crowds who were all partying, and it's the time of their lives too, was much more comfortable. I never felt worried about slipping back into an old lifestyle or old thinking, and I had plenty of people on the road to support me in that lifestyle, and my band were happy for me, and that they didn't have to worry about me in that lifestyle. It's worrisome and gives them a lot of anxiety that they don't need, so it was a very good regathering, if you will.
Yeah, thank you so much for the music. You guys were great. We still love listening to the music from the early 90s as well. Hootie and the Blowfish. Jim Sonnefeld from Hootie and the Blowfish. The book is called Swimming with the Blowfish. A very emotional human story about his addiction and how he has conquered that now. And before we let you go, I mean, advice to people who may be addicted in some way, shape, or form, what can you do? I mean, do you have to make sure that that person accepts it and then moves on? Or how do you do it? How did you finally get it yourself to go to get some help?
I had an ounce of courage at most, and I used it to ask a friend for help. I knew he was on a path in that same way, and really it's about just having a little bit of courage and humble yourself to say, I need help, and you go ask somebody for help, and there are answers, there are solutions, and that's the only thing I would advise anybody is don't be afraid to ask for help. It's okay to need people. It's okay to be imperfect and flawed. It's what all of us suffer from, but special addicted people need a little extra help, and don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah. Jim, thank you. Continue to be in great health, and thanks for sharing your story with us here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. We do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
God bless.